Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to Sunday Vibes Extra Time, your favourite footballing podcast. On the agenda today, it is a massive topic. With all falling apart at Stamford Bridge, we have gone with how to fix Chelsea. Joining me as usual today, I'm Doogie Critchley, is Joe Tomlinson.
How's it going?
And we have a very special guest today, coming in as Director of Football of Chelsea Football Club, it's
Zach Gillam!
Yes! And as usual, we will be cooking your suggestions into Rose Ed and dealing with facts with Rafa Benitez, which I believe Zach is doing. Right, let's get on with it.
So after the 6-0 demolition to Manchester City, what a game that was, we thought it would be good timing to fix Chelsea. And because I am the resident Chelsea fan, I've stepped in as technical director, sporting director, the director of football, whatever you want to call it, of Chelsea Football Club.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, I'm nervous about you as a director of football. I'll be honest, you're an extremely excitable man. You talk a lot.
I would give away so much to the press, it's unbelievable.
You absolutely would.
It would be leak central.
I'd be fired within 2 years. Yeah, two years is lucky.
You definitely would not be my choice as director of football, but you are the Chelsea fan. You know the most about the club of any of us, so why don't you give us a little rundown, a bit of background, and a few of the problems you've identified as the newly appointed DOF.
Sure thing. So we start with Antonio Conte. It was fantastic with him for the first year. We won the Premier League. Second year, not so great. However, better than it's going right now. Because towards the end of the season, we knew he was going to be sacked. It was common knowledge to the public. But in January, we weren't too bad, Chelsea. We knew we weren't going to win the Premier League because Man City were going mad. However, we were third, having won 15 and lost fourth.
That's not too bad.
Not terrible.
However, ugly football, though. You're playing ugly football at this stage.
Ugly football, but we'd progressed in the FA Cup and the EFL League Cup. However, end of January, we lose to Arsenal in the semi-final of the EFL League Cup. That then sparked a run of 5 defeats in our next 7 league games. And by the 1st of April, we were 5th.
Wow.
And out of the Champions League.
Yeah, that is a really ugly run, isn't it? That's a run akin, a little bit akin. It kind of mirrors Sarri's season right now.
Yeah.
Started really nicely, won a fair few games, and has just hit a major
Sarri's
wall.
Sarri's January, horrible. January, February, great.
I mean, for Antonio Conte, it was due to the football. It was people had sussed out the formation of 3 at the back, and in the end, we were losing to teams that we should have been beating, and also not beating teams that were more our level, like Arsenal and United. But that being said, after we beat United in the FA Cup final, fantastic day that, Conte was sacked.
Yes.
2 seasons, 2 trophies. Normally for a manager, that's okay, but at Chelsea, it's not. We want domestic success and European success, and domestic meaning the Premier League. The FA Cup and League Cup doesn't really matter to the board, to be honest.
And also, this is a club who has, over the past 15 years, built a philosophy of winning on rotation of manager. They've consistently had success from sacking one boss and getting another straight away.
And it started from, like, Hullet. From Hullet, he won a trophy from the boy that was at Leicester and now at Fulham.
Claudio
Ranieri. And it's gone through. It happened with Ancelotti. Everyone's won a couple of cups, but no one stayed there for more than 3 seasons.
I mean, the best example of that was probably Di Matteo winning the Champions League and then sacked in November, so...
I mean, Di Matteo was a strange one.
He was never a long-term Chelsea fit, but you'd think he'd at least give you to the end of the year.
It was a strange one, though, in terms of he'd won the Champions League and then we went into the next season with the exact same squad and we just signed Eden Hazard, but like Frank Lampard was aging, John Terry was aging then.
Yeah.
I think Drogba had just left and we'd not really bought a new striker or anything that was going to work. However, anyway, back to Conte. He left Chelsea with 67% win percentage. Fantastic. The only one that's topped it is Pep Guardiola. And I think he's on something like 74.
Yeah, I mean, Conte was a definite winner. But as soon as he fucked Diego Costa off and then messed around with the entire squad, pissed off Eden Hazard.
Took on the big personalities and lost.
And every single time a manager at Chelsea takes on the big personalities in the dressing room, they lose because the board will always side with the superstar.
100%. But one thing Conte said when we qualified for Champions League football that season, he said, "We're going into this with only 3 players who are good enough for the Champions League." He said that, and he was right.
Wow, which three players was he talking about?
He never actually name dropped them.
So we're definitely looking at Eden Hazard.
Eden Hazard.
N'Golo Kante.
Kante. Willian, probably.
Maybe Willian. He did say quite a lot.
Aspilicueta, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But, Aspilicueta.
Or Courtois. Maybe Courtois. But that's not good, full stop. You need 11 players. If three of them are only good enough for the Champions League, you're not going to win it. Or
well,
get it past.
Even if you think that, don't say it publicly either.
Yes. Poor, poor man management.
Anyway, 13th of July, Conte sacked. 14th of July, Chelsea signed their first transfer of the window. Considering there's not long left of the window anyway, Jorginho joins. 15th of July, Sarri signs with Chelsea. The other business that was done was Kepa joined and Kovacic joined. Now, for Sarri football, with the players that are already in the squad, we should have done a lot more business.
Okay, that's a very good point. I completely agree that you should have done more business and that Maurizio Sarri, had he earned the right to get that business done, remains to be seen.
My biggest concern is I think people in the board looked at Sarri and didn't look at maybe the amount of signings he would need for his football to work at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
That's the biggest issue. But that being said, within 11 games, come November, Chelsea was second and hadn't lost a game. So everything was rosy.
Doing well. And then you got worked out.
Yes. Jorginho got man-marked and it went to the toilet. Don't know if we can swear on this show. Anyway.
Yeah, go on, why not?
Fast forward 15 games to now. We're sixth, 10 points off the top. Off the top three of Spurs, we've lost six, we've won seven. After 11 games when we're unbeaten, we'd won eight.
That is
dreadful.
We've
lost seven in just 15 games.
Yeah, and you've not won an away game or scored an away goal in 2019.
It's a mess.
That is genuine Arsene Wenger form. Jamie Carragher said it on Sunday. Super Sunday, I think he said it. Or Monday Night Football. And he said that the worst thing I can say about Sarri is that he's turned Chelsea into Arsenal. And that is Arsenal form.
I mean, that really hurt. That was like a dagger to the heart. I'm not even joking. But we're going to not talk about the manager because the way we're going to look at this is that we've got a manager who's just X name. It doesn't matter necessarily about
like
the manager.
Like we do with Man United.
Yeah, and to be honest, like the Chelsea managerial situation could be a podcast on its own. It really could be. So we're not going to be talking about them. But I'm going to raise a couple of problem areas before we look into what transfers Chelsea need to make, etc. The first one. Mr. Roman Abramovich. What a man. An idol, some would say. Other countries, not so much.
I think pretty much nobody would call him an idol. Unless you're...
Only the most loyal Blues fan. Yeah.
or a Russian oligarch.
Putin. Yeah. Or, or a Blues diehard, yeah.
But arguably, he's been Chelsea's key figure since he's taken over in 2003. He spent £1.1 billion on transfers and £2.5 billion on wages. Wow. Now that's a lot of money to put into a club. Mm-hmm. And over the past two seasons alone, he spent £450 million. And that's including this season.
Yeah.
But you got to think Jorginho came in at over 50. Yeah. Kepa was 70.
Higuain for just a little bit.
Higuain, not that much though. But then equally,
Kante. It's also money that they've wasted as well. Drink water, Barkley,
Emerson.
We're getting on to drink water. Just you wait, mate. Now, the problem we face is we've pissed him off. He asked for a UK visa to be extended, and with arguably with Brexit and other things, we said no. And in retaliation, he stopped Chelsea building a new stadium, which would have brought in jobs, money, and made the club bigger. We would have gone from 40-something thousand to 60-something thousand.
Much needed as well.
Like Stamford Bridge is a great stadium. Mm. However, for Chelsea and with other clubs at these rates of 60,000, we need to be hitting those as well.
It's smaller than the Stadium of Light.
That's mental.
No joke. And we're in League One.
What stadium's light numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is smaller.
I think we're 46.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Anyway. Jesus, God. Now, although there's no real info on this, it is rumoured that he's looking to sell the club. And it's something about like 500 million or 5 billion. But a lot of
500 million or 5 billion, it's a big difference.
He's looking to sell. And as I said, there's no like 100% concrete evidence on it yet. But if it was to happen, it might not be the worst idea in the world. Roman Abramovich has put in a lot of money. And now if he's not going to be able to even come to the games, maybe it is good that we get an owner who is willing to, you know, improve Chelsea, take Chelsea to that next level of being Man City dominant force in the Premier League and in Europe.
Okay.
Anyway, problem one, Roman Abramovich. Problem two, a poor transfer record. We spent over £900 million since 2012.
That is a
lot. My word. That's an outrageous.
Although you have had a fair amount of success in that time as well.
You say that.
Really?
Oh, in terms of trophies, yes.
Yeah.
But the players, those are 56 players we've brought in. Only 17 of those players are in the squad right now.
Okay, that's still quite a lot, given you've only got a 23-man squad.
I mean, the players that are still in, like David Luiz is counted twice there as well, having been brought back.
Okay, right, okay. And I do understand what you're saying.
And the others have either been sold or gone on loan, or on loan right now.
I think that is the case, though, for a lot of top clubs, not just Chelsea, where you look at Man City spending, they're over $1 billion now, Manchester United. The top clubs, the real big spenders in the Premier League, haven't necessarily had huge success from the big money moves they've made. A lot of the best signings in the Premier League have actually been more around the sort of £20 to £30 million mark. You look back and go and pick up your David Silvers or your Sergio Aguero's, now N'Golo Kante's. When you actually look at the sort of £50 to £70 million mark, not as many of them have been brilliant. Angel Di Maria at Manchester United, not fantastic. Fernando Torres, not
I'd
great.
Agree with every club except for City, but when City have spent big on De Bruyne, Laporte, Stones, I mean, it's worked in a lot of cases as well. I can't think of that many flops at City for over 50.
No, you're right, not for over 50, but they've had some middling flops.
Yeah.
Like Claudio Bravo immediately springs to mind for 17 odd million.
Negredo was about 20 as well.
Yeah, Negredo.
That's kind of just like, it's not enough money where it's like you're willing to take the risk on that kind of thing.
Boney
20 mil.
30.
Yeah, big shout out to Boney. Wow.
But kind of the big reason why I bring that forward is that out of those players, no one has replaced the leaders. No one's replaced John Terry. No one's replaced Frank Lampard. No one's replaced Cech. No one's replaced Didier Drogba. Okay. And these were people where, in a game, we are losing 1-0. These are people who are, you know, encouraging the team, but also take it upon themselves to make sure we do win. You could argue maybe Hazard. And in terms of leadership, that's just him pulling something out of the bag for us to win the game, not necessarily leading the team.
But there have been moments for Chelsea where the players have been replaced. I think back to Diego Costa's best season when he was seeming like a direct replacement for Didier Drogba.
But is he here right now?
No, he's not. And is that the fault of the manager, the board's transfers? I would say that was a decent signing, Diego Costa being brought in. I would say that's the manager handling the situation badly that's cost them, not the board's transfer policy or the signing.
But that's one player. We had a squad of at least six or seven players who would be this leader on the pitch when we needed them to be.
Yeah.
Cech, like, he was actually underrated in his leadership and how he stepped up in the Champions League final, etc.
But would you still have Cech at the club now?
No. But what I'm saying now is we needed someone to take over from him to be that leader.
Mm.
And obviously, Kepa's just come in. He's very young. It's not going to happen straight away. But maybe Thibaut Courtois could have been that guy. But then in the end, he didn't want to be at Chelsea. And for you to be a leader, you want to be where you are as well.
Okay.
We move on, though, to there are still so many players on big contracts. I've got a game for you guys. David Luiz, how much money do you think he's on?
250 plus.
No.
Calm down,
200 plus,
120.
120. Let's not go that way.
That's way less than I thought it'd be. Oh, okay. Way less than I thought
he's
it'd
31
be.
Years old.
Yeah.
It's very old. Danny Drinkwater, 28, has only played 30 minutes of football this season.
He's on 110.
In the Community Shield.
110, it's over 100.
Like yeah.
£120,000 a week.
Wow. God, I'm good at this game.
Sickening.
Gary Cahill, who's 33 years old.
Ooh. Oh, 100 plus.
120,000?
No, surely not.
Yes,
oh, yes indeed. Giroud, 32, barely plays.
110.
95. 120.
Wow.
Again.
Drinkwater's the fourth highest paid player at Chelsea.
Danny Drinkwater.
No, can't be.
Yeah, fourth highest. You've got
Eden Hazard,
and there's one more, but I can't remember off the top
of my head. Oh, no wonder he didn't want to go to Fulham.
N'Golo Kante.
That's mental. Wow, okay.
Of course he doesn't want to leave to Fulham.
Yeah.
He's getting 120k a week for sitting on the bench.
Wow.
And then, to put that in comparison, Christensen, who's 22, is on 65.
Okay.
But he's also not starting, so that's a whole other issue, to be honest. Now, we move on to the players I want out of the club.
Yeah, I've heard you've been quite cutthroat.
Okay,
about
you've been
this.
Very
I
cutthroat.
Have been. I
because
have.
In order for what me and Doogie are going to come on to, which is me and Doogie are going to be acting as chief scouts in this operation and presenting a list of names to Jalab. Jalab has culled from the squad, both in order to make room for the players and also to make budget for the players. We've acted as if we've not had a huge amount of income from Roman Abramovich because obviously he's leaving. So we're going to take into account player sales and some revenue turnover from the club. Go on then, Jalab, take it away. Who are you culling?
About 12 players.
Oh, wow. Right. Okay, let's hear them though.
First one, Gary Cahill. I will see you later, mate.
Okay. Decent servant to the club though, so let's treat him with a bit of respect. 100%. He's been there for what now? 5-6 years?
He joined in the January 2012 window.
Yeah, so 6 years. So that's not a bad servant, you know.
A rock in that Champions League win as well.
Yeah.
When everyone was falling apart alongside him, I think Terry and Ivanovic were out. Yeah. Cahill pretty much held it
together. Him and David Luiz at the back were very good in that 2012 final.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll respect, like, we'll try and get him a Premier League move. And, like, whoever he wants to go for, maybe we'll take a little bit less. I've put here about £5 million we'll take.
Okay.
I'm happy to do that.
Okay, when's his contract up? Isn't he out free in the summer?
His contract is up next year.
Okay, next year.
God, why do they give such a big contract?
Now,
anyway.
This is, I looked at his value as well. He's now also valued £5 million now. This time last year, £35 million.
Yeah, mental though. Awesome. I mean, that is a classic transfer match.
Yeah. Okay, next one. The man I've been wanting at the club for a long time now, Marcos Alonso.
Okay, Marcos Alonso, yeah, I completely agree with, probably needs to be shifted on now. But equally, that leaves a big gap at left back.
It does. However, that's one of the positions we're going to be scouting later on.
Excellent.
I don't actually think Emerson is good enough to start as well.
So,
Emerson's going to be our backup for left back, and then the person we're looking to get in will start for us.
Perfectly happy with that.
Yeah.
Now, at the price I was looking for Alonso, CIS said 61 million. And in my head, I went, that's not happening at all.
15 million max.
I mean, I'll try and get, and get like,
you can get 30 for Alonso.
30, yeah, what? Hopefully.
In what world? How old is
he? We'll ship him back off. He's 28. We'll ship him either to China or to Italy.
Wow, I don't think you'll ever find an Italian club playing £30 million for a 28-year-old Marcos Alonso in this
Inter
market.
Inter Milan
love an old player, mate.
I'm not sure. I think that's
the older,
money.
The better, mate.
Okay, anyway, let's move on.
Next one, Zappa Costa. He's 26, but for a 26-year-old right-back, why are you sitting on the bench?
Yeah, he's not at this level, man. He's
just
not.
Most pointless move of all time. What was he, 25 million? Yeah. Ridiculous.
He scored one great goal from the halfway line, which was meant to be a cross.
That was a cross, yeah.
You're going to take £10 million for him and move on.
On top of that, though, I would bring back Ola Aina.
Okay.
So loan at Torino, yeah.
I know Torino have a £10 million buyout clause.
Which they're
going
to activate.
Buy-in clause. Yes, but I, in my head, I'm going to convince him to stay at Chelsea.
Okay.
I might have to give him a contract extension, is what it is.
Armour on the shoulder from Jalab.
Yeah,
it's a tough bit of convincing that. I think Ola Aina will be a Torino player on a permanent in the summer.
I think Zach's main skill as director of football will be convincing those that don't want to leave to stay.
I'm a man to
I don't think you'll necessarily be that good a negotiator, but I think you'll be arm around the shoulder. Come in, Ola.
Okay, so Zappacos has gone. Ola Aina comes back. Who else is going?
William. I've been calling this for a long time. He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's essentially, in my mind, hogging minutes from Callum Hudson-Odoi, which isn't good for us. His goal contribution is 235 a goal or assist every 235 minutes.
Not
good if you're one of these star players in the Chelsea squad.
Okay, and you get decent money for him. I've seen offers of 50 to 70 million in the last two windows.
I'm worried that in the summer, when he turns 31, nearly 31, we won't get that.
Barcelona won't come again, I don't think.
I think the Chinese will pay big money for Willian. The Chinese, they love to sign South Americans that have got a bit of star quality, and that's exactly what Willian could bring. I reckon you get 50 million plus
I'd
for
take
the Chinese.
That, mate, I was ready to take 37. So anything above
that, more than that,
do it. I'm more than happy to. The next one is Bakayoko.
Wow, okay. I think this is harsh. I think Thiago Bakayoko's had a really good second half of the
he's
season.
He's recovered.
He has, but I think if he came back to Chelsea, he would not be able to get into that midfield. Jorginho, N'Golo Kante, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, any potential signing we make, Mason Mount when he comes back from Derby, who I want to keep in the squad.
Okay.
Barkley. That's five midfielders that in my head he's behind.
Okay, right. So is Barkley staying
team?
Wow.
Barkley
has to be sold.
He's contracted until 2023. Not going to give him an extension. We'll deal with that later on.
It's a five-year deal they gave him. Mate. Wow.
You've got to remember, we bought him for 13 million, guys. Like, that's fine. 13 million quid for Ross Barkley.
Was it as little as that? Okay.
Yeah, it was not...
It's not terrible, but equally...
Good business in my head. And the other one, or the most notable one, I'm also getting rid of Kallas, Zouma, Kennedy, Murata... I'm hoping Atletico accept that.
Our loan move should work out.
Moses.
Yeah.
The other one that might cause a bit of controversy is Tammy Abraham.
Okay, Tammy. I don't have a problem with this. I think it's probably time for Tammy to move on, both for the sake of his own career.
100%.
And I just don't think it's going to work at Chelsea.
Exactly. He's never going to be that starting striker for Chelsea because we want instant success all the time. And he's never going to get time to be bedded into the squad unless he goes on loan to a decent Premier League club and performs.
Can I set you a question?
Sure.
Batshuayi at Crystal Palace now scores 8 goals to the end of the year. Palace, you know, survive. he becomes a lot of Premier League clubs become interested. European clubs come; they offer you 25 million for Batshuayi. Do you take it or not?
See, I think we can get 25 million for Tammy Abraham. There was rumours of 30 million from Wolves.
Yeah, I think you can get 25 for Tammy.
But do you also sell Batshuayi? Is my question.
I mean, no.
If then you've got no strikers.
If we sell Batshuayi, we keep Tammy Abraham. Because they're both going to bring in
keep
the
Tammy Abraham, I think.
But in my head, for the manager, he knows that Batshuayi's played at a higher level, whereas Tammy Abraham is more of a risk.
Are you keeping Olivier Giroud in this team?
So this is where we move on to players who are out of contract.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Is that a contract? Well, I didn't realise that Olivier Giroud's going.
First one, David Luiz.
Yeah.
His runs out in the summer. I'm not giving him an extension.
Okay.
The only reason I give him an extension is if he was to do it and I could sell him on.
Okay.
But I know he wouldn't be up for that. And the other one is Olivier Giroud. It's up in the summer.
Okay. Both of them being let go.
Because we've already got Higuain. Yeah. We're going to bring in a striker, hopefully.
Is Higuain 18-month loan?
So Higuain is onto my next one of contract extensions. I'm willing to pay £15 million for Higuain for the next year as well.
Wow. Okay. So,
big money, Gillard.
I think that's a bold move.
It's a bold move.
To play Gonzalo Higuain as a backup.
Move. But let's say he scores 8 goals for this season. I think that's decent enough at Chelsea for the remainder of this season. Any more than 8 or 10, fantastic. £15 million, sure. If he doesn't work out, then he's on the backup. He's a decent striker for the backup to sit on the bench. If he does, then he plays up front and maybe our striker who we sign. We go with 2 up front, or he has to.
No, we can't just cut everyone. Rotation. I keep Higuain as well.
Okay, right. So Higuain is staying. Who else is in there?
Extensions, Caballero. I think he's been a fine backup keeper. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Takes
yeah,
my age. Yeah,
not
fine.
Bothered.
Eden Hazard.
Are you saying you're going to keep him?
I would love to keep him if I can.
But in this make believe scenario that we're playing out here, is he still at Chelsea next season?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Because in my head, I want him for this next season, and we'll convince him by the football we're playing to stay on.
Wow, okay. I personally believe, as a neutral, that Eden Hazard will be a Real Madrid player in the summer, but I'm willing to play it out in this scenario that he's still there.
I scouted on the scenario that he would be staying, because I would have put a lot more money in different areas.
100%.
Yeah, okay. So what's the budget we're working with, Deej?
Well, also, just quickly to add, I want to keep Pedro. Just think he's got decent experience, but I want him to take a little.
Year,
I want
okay.
him to drop about 20,000 in wage.
Good luck with that.
Good luck. Just going to see what happens.
Worst comes to worst. And Hudson-Odoi.
Okay.
He's getting a contract extension. Runs out not summer coming, next summer. And I'm willing to give him 70,000 a week.
Nice. Okay. So the current situation is we've got Kepa in goal.
Yep.
We've not got a left back.
We've got
a centre back.
Well, we've got 2 in Christensen and Rudiger,
but we want one more.
Right back, Azpilicueta.
Yeah.
Centre midfields, Jorginho, Kante, need another one.
Okay.
Right winger, Hudson-Odoi, up front Higuain, and left wing Hazard. Now,
okay.
The players...
And Pulisic is playing...
Pulisic will come in, so Pulisic will be rotating with
Hudson-Odoi. Okay.
But we still probably need another striker if you're letting...
Exactly.
If Giroud's off.
Yeah. So, exactly.
And Tammy Abraham.
So the areas you want us to sign are what?
So the areas I want you to sign, one centre-back, one left-back, one centre-mid to replace Kovacic in the attacking output, in my head, a striker and a wild card to...
To jazz it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what are we talking about money-wise?
So, I did a little bit of research. Chelsea made a profit of £62 million last year. It's the most we've made, I think, ever.
Yeah, record profit.
Record profit. That's also due to the season before we had to pay £67 million to Adidas to end the deal we had with them early. And we also had to give £8 million to Jose Mourinho for sacking him. £9 million to Conte, even though Conte wants another 30.
Why did you pay 60-odd million to
so we had
end
a deal
your contract with Adidas?
Because Nike's contract is £60 million a year.
Right, okay. So worth doing. Okay.
100%
way more.
Doing.
Yeah. Way more than
got
Adidas.
It.
So they that, and then along with our players, with the players I'm selling... We've got £300 million to spend on 5 players.
Okay, so a mixture of club investment, sales, and a little bit of money from Roman, but not enough to be.
That's a juicy
huge.
Kitty. I'm happy with that.
£300 million, I'm very happy with that. Okay, so should we start our suggestions?
Tomlinson, you want to go first?
Shall I kick us off, Duke?
Yeah,
happy
very
that?
Happy with that. Go for it, mate.
Okay, so I've looked at the centre-back options, and I agree with you. I think there is definitely room for a centre-back in the squad, especially with the sales you're making. But I think age is still an issue within that Chelsea setup. Still think it's either lots of youngsters, like 18-year-old Hudson-Odoi, or it's lots of old players like Pedro. I want to find some middle ground with a lot of my signings. Sort of 22 to 25-year-old mark is kind of where I'm aiming. A little bit of progression, but not so much that they'll take 2 years to get into the team, and Chelsea will never afford that. So my first name, centre-back, is Romagnoli from AC Milan.
Were we linked with him before?
You have been heavily linked with him in the past, as has nearly every top European club, because this guy is one of the best Italian defensive prospects to come out in the last 3 to 4 years. He's now 24 years old, obviously the AC Milan captain, 6'2", big presence, and one of the most important things for me here, left-footed. Plays on the left-hand side of the central defensive pairing. Both Christensen and Rudiger are right-footed. I want them to play on the right, and I want Romagnoli coming straight in as probably the leader of the back line on the left. Not had a single major injury during his career. Missed the occasional game, but I think he'd be the perfect option there. He actually began his career, I remember, back with Roma. I think he was 17 when he made his debut there. He was then sent out on loan to Sampdoria to play under Mihailovic, I want to go with. Mihailovic, obviously.
He used to manage Algeria.
Yeah, who back then was the Sampdoria manager. I think they paid $500k to get him on a season-long loan deal. 28 starts, age 19, the fourth best defence in Serie A with Sampdoria. He was their best player, let's put it simply. He was the best player at Sampdoria that season, 3.8 tackles and interceptions, averaging just 33 passes per 90. But he was immediately a star of that team. And when he went back to Roma, the Roma fans, they called him the Great Hope. He was meant to be the next superstar of Roman football. He was meant to be the captain of Rome going forward. But he was immediately sold. 25 Ooh. Million euros. Roma fans absolutely spitting. One site I read today wrote, "It is an assault on all things football in the city of Rome."
Oh my days.
They were absolutely,
I love it when the Italians get over the top.
I think the owners decided they needed the money.
Okay,
it's fair.
Whereas the fans kind of wanted this player for the long haul. Upon going to Milan, he linked back up with Mihailovic again, who had left Sampdoria and gone to Milan and demanded his signing as the first name. He was that good at Sampdoria and impressed him that much. He obviously has since then flourished. He wears the number 13 shirt because that was worn by Nesta.
Oh,
and
what
that is
a
his icon. He reminds me, if you go and watch highlights, he really reminds you of Nesta.
Really?
Yeah, jeez. Superb on the ball. Like, one of the best on the ball in Serie A. Pretty much a guaranteed starter in every single game under Mihailovic and then under Montella, and now under Gattuso. Obviously, he's captain last season, played alongside Bonucci, 27 starts, averaging a 92% pass accuracy. His passes have nearly doubled since his Sampdoria days to 60 passes per 90. The leader of the entire Milan outfit. He's had 18 starts so far this season, played every minute of every game, 93% pass accuracy, 5 deep progressions per 90. Pretty much the ultimate Italian centre-back right now in the market. When he was representing the Italian under-21 side, he was partnering Daniele Regani, and we know how highly regarded he is, and he was seen as the leader above Regani. So Romagnoli is superb, a great distributor, left-footed, sits to the left-hand side of a back four. AC Milan, they don't need the money, but they're such a hit-and-miss club with the owners. I think if you offered those owners enough money, I think they would sell any of their best assets. To them, it's a business, not a football club.
Although it does seem recently that they've been sort of harbouring the young best talent in, not even in Italy, just around Europe.
They've been
Europe
sucking them in.
Well.
We look at the likes of Paquetta and people like that, for sure.
Yeah. Paquetta,
but equally,
Pienta, Calabria.
It wouldn't shock me at all if we went in there and went, "Here's 60 million euros. We want to take Romagnoli off your hands. He's under contract until 2022. He to me, is an ideal option of a ball-playing centre-back. Because I like Rudiger, but I don't think he's the best on the ball.
Same.
Like Christensen. He's good on the ball, but maybe not so good defensively. Whereas Romagnoli, for me, is a good merge of two. He's not the best we can get, looking at the likes of Koulibaly and players like that. Because I just don't think Chelsea right now, the calibre of team that can purchase him. But I think Romagnoli is a good middle ground.
How
very
old is
good
he
option. 24.
I mean, that's a very good pitch, Diggy, mate.
Well, wait till you hear mine, Mr. Director, okay?
I mean, that's ticked like all the boxes I'm looking for. The left-footed bit, Tour.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, wait until you hear this, because right, I'm right. going for a slightly different option. But first of all, I want to compliment you on your decision to keep Rudiger.
Cheers.
Because although, you know, he, like Chelsea, has had a poor last few matches, you know, you can't forget that in the start of that year, in your unbeaten run, he was probably one of the top five centre-backs in the league, mm-hmm. I would argue anyway. Drew a lot of plaudits, particularly in that 2-0 win over City at home. He's actually only missed one league game this season. He has a 91.5% pass accuracy. So I'm looking for a player who can go alongside that and really, you know, complement his style of play. Rudiger, the more sort of rough and ready, aerial, you know, aerially very good, I always think, Rudiger. But, you know, you want a sort of complete package alongside that. And David Luiz, 31, you know, sell him off to China as far as I'm concerned. My suggestion is a little rogue, but I'm also shopping in Italy, and I think he's been one of the most outstanding centre-backs in Italy this year, and it's 23-year-old Sassuolo centre-back Marlon. Now, you might recognise this name because he emerged at Fluminense. He's Brazilian. He won the Primeira Liga there in 2016, and then he was signed for Barcelona in June 2016, initially on loan. When he was age 20, he didn't really get much of a chance at Barcelona. He mainly played for Barcelona B team, but he did make two La Liga appearances and make his Champions League debut against Celtic. His performances basically for Barcelona B were enough to convince the Blaugrana hierarchy to give out €5 million for his signature the next summer. They signed him on a four-year deal. Valverde was then like, we've got this young centre-back, only 20 years old. He's not going to get ahead of, you know, Piqué, Umtiti, even Vermaelen at that stage. So we're going to send him on a two-year loan deal. So he went to Nice at the start of last season, played really well for Nice, made 23 league-on appearances, 3 in the Europa League, you know, solid tackle and interceptions numbers, completed nearly 95% of his passes. This guy is unbelievable on the ball. Barca exercised the option to bring him back a year early, thinking that, okay, he might not necessarily be good enough for Barcelona at the moment, but we can fob him off for, you know, a good amount of money. And West Ham at this time, it was before they signed Issa Diop, they were looking around at him. Apparently they were put off by his physique not being entirely complete, or entirely what they were looking for the Premier League at least, and went for Issa Diop. Marlon instead signed for Sassuolo for €6 million, although Barcelona crucially inserted a buyback clause, which shows you how much they rated him. Since then, he's only missed 6 league games, but he has shone when he has played. 3.3 tackles and interceptions per 90, 3.4 accurate long balls. For context, I think Toby Alderweireld, one of the best long-range passers in the Premier League, averages about 4.5, so he's not far behind that. He's completed 93.5% of his passes, which is second in Italy to Inter's Borja Vallejo, which I found was quite interesting. It's basically, so it's better than Skriniar, it's better than De Vrij, it's better than Koulibaly. This guy is an unbelievable passer of the ball. In fact, only 6 players in Europe top that figure, and 4 of them play for either City, PSG or Barcelona.
Jeez.
And they are Stones, Kimpembe, Silva and Arthur. The guy is an absolute metronome at the back. He's only valued at €18.1 million by the CIES, and I have a lot of money coming through later on, so I decided to go for a slightly cheaper option. I'm not saying he would necessarily come in and instantly start instead of ahead of Christensen, but he'd be a great option coming through. Still only 23, young, excellent passer, gets around the pitch well, slightly small, slightly diminutive, but I think he could adapt, he could build up. I'd go for Marlon.
So,
cheaper option.
Just
and
a question
costs
for you.
30.
So what stops Barca bringing him back?
They can. They've got a buyback clause.
So, but if Chelsea want him, I think you're going to find yourself in a Morata situation.
Why?
Where Barcelona will buy him back at, what was the buyback, sorry, again?
€5 million.
€5 million, I mean, in order to sell for 50, which is exactly what Madrid did with
he's
Morata.
Not on, he's not on loan at Sassuolo. He's permanently Sassuolo.
Yeah, but they've got the buyback option. That's exactly what Real Madrid did with Morata. Morata actually never went on loan to Juventus. He went on a permanent with a buyback clause. And they bought him back for 18
You know, Chelsea
million,
could just offer more money. Chelsea could just offer more money than Barcelona. A buyback clause is not written in stone. You don't have to sell it to Barcelona.
He's not wrong. Sassuolo
it's just
more
a buyback
money,
clause.
Then.
If Sassuolo, if you know, Chelsea come in at 30 million, that's all I think it's going to take. 30,
sure,
35.
Okay, maybe I misunderstand the rules of buyback clauses. I thought that gives you first option.
No, you can put that clause in.
Okay, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one.
It's like Fabregas. Fabregas had a first option for Arsenal, and Arsenal rejected it, and then he went to Chelsea.
Mm. Okay, that's an interesting one.
I don't think Barcelona are going to be looking at any more centre backs. They signed 2 in January. They obviously signed Longley last summer, and Titi, Piqué, Vermaelen. De Jong can also play those joining in the summer. I don't think Barcelona need another centre-back.
Yeah, I mean, they would only bring him in to sell him off. That would be my opinion.
Yeah.
Those are both great pitches. Like, honestly, fantastic.
Okay.
Good.
Do you have any shouts yourself? You want to just quickly rattle off?
Yeah, so I was looking. I got attracted to RB Leipzig and Upamecano and the other centre-back, Konate? Yeah.
Konate, I think.
And I looked at Upamecano and saw he was going for about 100 million quid. So I went, no, that's not happening.
Wise.
And so I looked at Konate. And for a 19-year-old, he's ridiculous.
Yes.
He's making four tackles and interceptions a game. He's fantastic at dribbling the ball out. And he's completing, I think it's around 2.5 long balls per 90. So it's okay.
Not quite Marlon.
Not quite Marlon. But David Luiz is completing seven at Chelsea a game.
This season.
That is impressive.
That is just because he switches the ball all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, but of those seven, at least three of them are that ball over to Pedro over the top, and where he's already got two assists to David Luiz as well this season.
Okay, your pick then. What are you going for at centre half? Who are you going to pick?
It's hard. I really like both of them. I kind of want to go for both.
You can't go for both,
mate.
No. We've not got the budget. I've not built in the budget restrictions.
Okay, I'm going for Tomlinson's for the leader aspect.
I like it.
I like the lead aspect. And I raised that issue earlier that we haven't had a strong leader come into the squad and take control of it. If he can do that, it's money well spent. 60 million quid. Put it. Get him to sign the contract.
Learn under the best, baby. Benucci.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, I think I looked at Robin Noli. I think it's a good option. I can't really argue with it.
Mate, next
I just thought Marlon was 30, 35 million pounds cheaper. But
yeah,
next probably. Season, if we're still looking, we'll go Marlon.
Okay, should we move on to left backs then?
Yes, please. Should I kick this one off then?
Go on then, Duke. Why don't you kick this one off?
Because, you know, we've been beating this drum for a while that Marcus Alonso is not a very good left back. He's a very good wing back, but he's not good at left back. You know, we even were saying this back in August and September, but no one would listen to us. He scored that winner against Arsenal. He then forced an own goal from Yedlin in the next game in September, I believe, and he generally makes himself a nuisance up front. He gets into good areas, he gets plenty of shots off, but for all his attacking flair, he's got one goal and three assists to his name in 2,221 minutes.
God.
That's really not phenomenal. Mendy has only played 810. He's got five assists. Jose Holobas at Watford, three goals and six assists. I mean, honestly, if you just want an attacking nuisance, go sign Holobas. Alonso is 3.3 tackles and interceptions per 90. That's fairly solid. But that doesn't really show the amount of times that he's caught out of position and his horrendous pace. Horrific pace. He's slower than Jorginho. No, he's not quite slower than Jorginho. But he's right up there. Caught out far too many times. And for all Emerson's promise, I mean, he's played well in the Europa League. He's only had 120 minutes of Prem action. He'd be a very able backup, in my opinion. So, left backs. I recommended a guy called Alex Telles on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, how to win the January transfer window. I think he's the best option at left back, but I won't go over, you know, trodden ground. Mm. So the player that I'm recommending is a player at the top of his game right now, and it's Real Madrid's 20-year-old fullback, Ashraf Hakimi.
I like it a lot.
Good. He's obviously on loan at Dortmund at the moment. I'll get onto that in due course, but you know, he's 14 times capped by Morocco. He's only 20, but was in the Real Madrid Academy since he was 8. Rose through the ranks to Casilla for the 16-17 campaign. Made 28 appearances. Last year, he was promoted to the Los Blancos first team, mainly thought of as backup to Nacho and Dani Carvajal at right back, but it's actually a left back that he's been shining for Dortmund. So last year, made 9 La Liga appearances, scoring 2, including 1 in a 5-0 rout of Sevilla. Also made 4 appearances, 3 of which starts in the UCL, got 3 assists in 4 games, just a casual 3 assists. Yeah. In those limited minutes, 3.7 tackles and interceptions per 90, nearly 2.4 dribbles as well. Only Carvajal and Casemiro averaged more tackles in 17-18, and his 2.4 dribbles per 90 was the best in the Real Madrid squad last year. This guy was, you know, playing really well in very limited minutes, and I'm quite surprised they let him go on loan, to be entirely honest. He also became the first Moroccan to win a Champions League, which I just thought was noteworthy. Anyway, so he joined Dortmund on a 2-year loan deal in July, so that is a potential stumbling block. But we've seen with Higuain that when money comes into play, loan moves can be superseded. I'm not entirely sure of the ins and outs of that, but if an attractive enough offer comes in from, you know, the likes of Chelsea or someone like that, I'm pretty sure Real Madrid would listen.
I'm not convinced about that.
Well, we'll come on to that. He's missed just 5 Bundesliga games this season, and 17 of his 23 appearances have come as a left back. but he's, you know, also played on the right back. I think he can also play at centre back. That versatility would be useful, especially if you're getting rid of Victor Moses as well. You need a backup to Azpilicueta. He's averaging nearly 3.5 tackles and interceptions per 90. Only four players are making more tackles in the BVB squad. He's taking 1.1 shots, two dribbles per 90. He's got two goals, four assists in the league alone. Fifth for assists from a left back. He's also a very good passer. Only Witzel and Zagadou complete more passes than his 86.4%. He's also had some standout displays. I mean, anyone that watched Dortmund's games against Atletico Madrid, particularly when they won 4-0 at home, would have seen Hakimi, you know, breaking at breakneck speed down that left flank. He got three assists in that game of the four goals. He's averaging 1.9 key passes per 90 in the Champions League this season. His value has doubled to €34 million since August. And I recommend getting him while you can. If Real Madrid, and this is a big if they're willing to come to the table and sell him, especially as Sergio Reguilón has, you know, sort of superseded Marcelo at left back, I don't think they're going to buy another potential starter there, although they could possibly get rid of Marcelo. That's my only worry, that they'll bring back Hakimi and he'll be their backup. But if you could do business with Real Madrid for Hakimi, I think he's the outstanding, relatively cheap option in Europe for left backs.
Okay, it's a very good pitch.
It is a very good
pitch. But let's be real. Oh. Real Madrid do not sell Hakimi.
Why?
Because he is their star left back for the future. Marcelo is now 31, as good as Reguilón is. If Solari had been in charge when Hakimi was at the club, he would not have gone on loan. He would be probably starting right now for Real Madrid left back. I don't see it happening. To get him out of Madrid, we are talking ridiculous figures.
It's sure. funny because he's the exact same player I was looking at.
Okay,
Hakimi.
So you've both looked at the same player. And I admit, he would be the outstanding candidate. He is a great player, a superb profile for Chelsea. But I don't think it's realistic to get him out of there. A player I do think is realistic to get out of his club is Feyyousi Ghulam.
Okay.
At Napoli.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we are talking about a slightly older player here. So, just turned 28 last week. So, he's not on the young side.
No spring chicken.
But equally, I think because he's been in and out of the team, obviously, he's had a horrendous injury, which we're going to come on to in a bit.
Okay.
He's probably got more years on his side. What I will say as well is that I know we're not talking about manager, but he was so crucial for Maurizio Sarri and that Napoli side. I think I read a statement today from Sarri saying that Ghulam was the key to the squad to Mediaset last year. And I truly believe he is one of the best all-round fullbacks in world football when he's fit. And it is a big when he's fit because last year, 2017, let's go all the way back. November 2017 was when it first happened. He snapped his ACL playing against Manchester City, who at the time wanted him. Man City wanted to bring Ghulam in when Benjamin Mendy did his ACL as cover for Benjamin Mendy. They were actually scouting him in the game that he snapped his ACL. That was against Man City in the Champions League. And I believe Napoli were winning at the point he snapped his ACL. They went on to lose 4-2. That was November 2017. He didn't return to action until February the 1st, 2018. He played for a week and then he snapped his same kneecap.
Oh my God.
So he went from ACL. He went ACL injury to kneecap.
He has no legs.
He came back in May 2018, had surgery to remove the metal pins that had held his kneecap together, didn't return until October this season. Now, that is a serious black mark on his name.
Yes.
But this guy is so good, I think it's worth taking a risk on a black mark. Let me ping you some of these figures, because we talk about Hakimi being brilliant. Mm. This is a guy, Feyyousi Ghulam, who was averaging nearly three key passes per 90 in 17-18. Before he got injured, in 11 appearances from left back, five goals, one assist, 4.8 tackles and interceptions.
God.
He was the entire left flank for Napoli, because Lorenzo Insigne played as an inside forward. And who plays as an inside forward on the left for Chelsea?
Eden Hazard.
We have got no width out there, and when we do, it only goes one way, attacking. This guy is a beast defensively. He was part of one of the best defences in Italy, in Napoli, partially down to the way Sarri played football in that he kept possession. But that is no black mark on his name, because you have to be a good footballer to be able to play at the back in the Maurizio Sarri side. And that's exactly what he is. He was the leader of the Napoli press, according to Maurizio Sarri, which is something that Chelsea have obviously looked to implement over the last few years. A little bit akin to Andy Robertson at Liverpool, where he finds triggers and presses on triggers. I think Goulam is probably one of the best left backs in the world right now. He's got a big black mark because of that injury, but for me, you could get him out of Napoli for cheaper because of it.
How much money are we talking?
I think you could get him out for sub 50.
Oh my.
That's a lot on a guy who's had two major injuries in the last year.
I don't think it's 50 either. I think it's more 50. Remember, we bought Jorginho for 57.
Yes, but Jorginho hadn't just had 18 months out with an ACL injury.
Very true, very true. I mean, how much are we thinking Hakimi costs? Because I was willing to pay 60 million for Hakimi.
Okay,
I think that's a lot.
I think that's more realistic figures. You're talking more realistic figures.
I think that's bonkers. He's only had one season of, you know, regular first team minutes. He won't cost 60 million.
Barca have just paid 60 million euros for De Jong.
He's been so good.
He's had 18 months.
He's been so good as well. Real Madrid just don't want to get rid of him, especially when they've already got Marcelo then. He's probably going to be
And did you mention Dortmund have an option to buy?
Dortmund do not have an option to buy.
So he is going back, which means he is costing a vile amount of
money. But it's a two-year loan spell, so he's not going back anytime soon unless Real, you know, recall him. And he was, you know, people think that he was really wanted at Real Madrid. He wasn't. I've read some articles today. They were, you know, very much like, go and get some experience, you know. You're not in our first team plans by any stretch of imagination. So I'd be surprised. I think Real Madrid could come to the table at 35-40.
Okay, I'll hold my hands up here. I think Hakimi is the option. He just is the option here.
Yeah, especially the age and the injury record.
Love it.
Hakimi, it is.
Okay.
Good shout. Okay, where are we moving on to now, Zach?
We're moving on to central midfield specifically the left centre mid position, which Kovacic will be leaving in the summer. Although I read reports today that apparently Real Madrid might offer us Kovacic in the Hazard deal.
Okay.
We're going to ignore that, though. Hazard's still at the club. Kovacic has gone back to Real Madrid for next season. What are we going to do, Joe Tomlinson?
Okay, so I think there's only one. There isn't one place. I was iffing and butting. I didn't know where to go with central midfield. I went through so many options. And I landed.
Joe's notepad was just options.
It really was. But I landed at one club at the end of it. And the selection is tasty. I landed at Lyon. Fair. And I thought,
it's not a bad place to land.
Do we take Tanguy and Ndombele? And I have to admit, even as Chelsea's chief scout right now, we do not have the resource to take Tanguy and Ndombele. And we cannot compete with the likes of Manchester City and the Real Madrids and Bayern Munichs, who 100%. Are also chasing him. I looked at Nabil Fekir as potentially playing in that role, a slightly deeper than he's used to, but could do the role as Hamsik did at Napoli. Mm-hmm. Don't think he's going to be moving, not with that knee injury. Yeah. Obviously failed the medical at 70 million euros at Liverpool. I don't think a year on anything's changed. So I have gone for Houssem Aouar.
A lot of Algerian links today, boys.
Yes, there is a lot of Algerian links.
I had to get to our director's heart. Yeah.
Quite a few people at home listening will be thinking, where have I heard that name before? You've heard that name because this is a Patrick Van Straten suggestion. Mm-hmm. And if it's good enough for Pato, it's good enough for me. Now, Houssem Aouar, 20 years old, currently at Lyon, coming out of their own academy. He replaced Tolisso in that side, who obviously moved on to Bayern Munich. Big boots to fill because Tolisso could play in any role in midfield and look comfortable. Mm-hmm. Never looked out of place, whether it was in a double pivot, in a three, as part of an attacking midfield. He was always in the right place, and so is Aouar. I think the biggest compliment you can pay is that he hasn't been missed, Tolisso.
Yeah, that's a very big compliment to say to me.
Which is a ridiculous compliment. And the fact that him and Ndombele have been able to pick up the mantle for Tolisso is huge. This guy is a brilliant dribbler in tight spaces in and around the edge of the box. Let's not forget, he can also play as a reserve defensive midfielder. He can play on either side of a three-man flank, or he can play in a double pivot, and he can play as a number 10. He's as versatile as you're ever going to see, like Tolisso was. But he is a fabulous dribbler. He is so good at rolling a man. You know, when the ball just comes into him and he rolls him out, he's not very big. He's 5'7". He's slight, but you would never know it. He rolls a man for fun. He's averaging nearly 5 dribbles per 90 this season.
That's impressive.
In Ligue 1, which is incredible. The way I watched him today, I think the closest I can think of is Bernardo Silva in the Premier League. Imagine a bit Bernardo Silva. He's almost akin to Juan Mata with pace. If Juan Mata had a burst of pace.
What's his ball progression like?
His ball progression is not too bad. Okay. 8.8 per 90 he's averaging at Lyon, which is not terrible, but equally, you're looking at current Chelsea midfielders as being arguably the best in the whole of Europe. Kovacic is averaging 10 plus, which is up there in around the top five in the whole of Europe, and Jorginho is 11 plus. So I think Chelsea players actually occupy two of the top 10 spaces in the whole of Europe for deep progressions, and one of them is Kovacic. So if we can bring him back, I would recommend bringing him back. Equally, let's go back to Aouar quickly, because he is also a superb passer of the ball. Two key passes per 90, 0.7 expected build-up. He's just all over the place. And that's him moving around as part of a double pivot, as part of a midfield three, occasionally playing as a 10. His link with left wingers, which is part of the reason I also like him, with Memphis Depay at Lyon is outrageous. It's like telepathy. I want that out of my midfielder on the left of my midfield three with Eden Hazard. And that's what I think he could build Aouar. He's only 20 years old, like I said at the start. Bruno Genesio says that he thinks Aouar will be even better in a truly elite pressing side. And that's what I want this Chelsea team to become. And I think he is the perfect option. He can both play in a two, like I've said about 15 times, which we might end up using because Kante might be used there instead of Jorginho, or in a three if you want to go Jorginho, Kante, Aouar. He's 20 years old, massive room for progression. If we don't get him now, he will be at PSG within 4 years and he will be a good superstar.
Fair enough.
How much money?
I think you're looking at 56 million euros.
I think a fair chunk.
Fair enough. Doogie?
I was just thinking it's going to be really interesting if a new manager comes in. Where does Jorginho play?
Well, this is what I was saying with like how it could be its own podcast, because the formation changes. Is Jorginho crucial anymore? Kante now play CDM? Jorginho's not worth
it. Can he play as one of two defensive midfielders?
Exactly.
No, I don't think he can.
So many questions to answer. But before I went into my central midfield option, I just wanted to do a little background on Kovacic, because obviously his situation is quite interesting. He's obviously on a one-year loan deal from Real Madrid. But AS claimed in December, the Spanish publication AS, that Real Madrid weren't really impressed with the way the 24-year-old behaved in the summer. So basically, he came back from the World Cup, went on holiday, came back, and told Lopetegui that he wanted to leave, and he even considered refusing to train unless he got his way. Apparently, his issue was that, you know, like we were basically talking about him all of last year, but he wasn't really getting enough first team minutes. Only made 14 league and UCL starts last year, which really wasn't enough for a player of his ability. And now AS report that the club are willing to listen to offers for the player, and Kovacic actually wouldn't be averse to staying in West London. So everyone's just got this idea that he'll go back to Real Madrid, but it's actually not as clear cut as this. Obviously, he hasn't had the best of times of it recently, along with the rest of the Chelsea midfield. Since being taken off in that 3-0, they were 3-0 down at Bournemouth at the time. Yeah. Kovacic was left on the bench for their 3-0, 5-0 win over Huddersfield, and was also on the bench for their 6-0 loss to City. So these horrific... I mean, he was very involved with the Bournemouth game, but that horrific game against City doesn't really leave a stain against his name, as it were. And he's kind of been close to his attacking potential this season. So he's taken 1.5 shots per 90, which is a massive criticism of his game, that he hasn't really provided enough at attacking outfit. And I would argue that, although, you know, a lot of those shots are coming from outside the area, there's just 0.4 from inside the penalty area. So he does need to get himself in better positions, and I can see why you're looking for more attacking threat. He's doing 2 dribbles per 90, which is up to 4.2 in the Europa League. But that's down from 3.2 for Real Madrid last year. And his tackles and interception numbers are way down from 2.9. Although I would temper that with the fact that he often came in for Casemiro last year and was the defensive linchpin behind Kroos and Modric. Still very tidy on the ball, 92.6% pass accuracy. If you could keep Kovacic, I definitely would keep him. But I still think you need another midfielder in there.
I think if you don't keep him, he'll end up at Man City or somebody like that.
Yeah, he's definitely going
to
be...
You don't think he's going to go back to Real Madrid?
I don't think he will. Judging on what I've read, they really weren't impressed with his conduct at all in the summer. And if they could get, you know, a decent chunk of money, I'm thinking he would cost at least 60. They'll go to the table with it, I reckon.
I just think Real Madrid will be very keen to use him in the deal for Hazard. And if we want to keep Hazard, I would rather keep him rather than bring Kovacic back on a permanent, to be honest.
Yeah, and you might want the money for Hazard as well. You might want that 140 straight
up.
Yeah,
you're going to need to sign a forward.
Exactly, big time. Anyway, I'll go on to my other midfielder. So obviously, we're trying to get rid of Danny Drinkwater, whoever will take him. And I'm suggesting a guy, and it's kind of a weird shout, but I'm suggesting that Chelsea sign Ivan Rakitic. I know he's about to be 31 in March. But I'm recommending that you sign him on a pretty short-term deal. 2-3 years max.
Okay.
And I think he's got the style of play. I think he's still got the legs to be able to last for 3 years. And with De Jong and likely Rabiot coming in this summer, Barcelona are going to get rid of one of their midfielders. And I don't think it's going to be Vidal, and it's not going to be Busquets. I think it's going to be Rakitic. And he's still very much got it at the top level. 79.3 passes per game this year, 92% pass accuracy. He's already played 28 games for Barcelona, and his just all-round stats are great. 2.6 tackles and interceptions, 2 shots, 0.7 dribbles. He's dispossessed just 0.6 times per 90, which is half that of Kovacic, and he is known as one of the tidiest ball players in the Premier League. He's getting dispossessed half of his fellow Croats. He's played at least 50 games for the last 4 years at Barcelona, so he's showing no signs of slowing up, winning 12 major trophies, including 3 La Ligas, 4 Copa del Reyes, a Champions League. There is interest from Inter Milan, which is the problem.
That is the most worrying statement you can say when signing a footballer. There's interest from Milan.
You do have a point.
Not gone well
you
recently.
Do have a point. And they are apparently willing to spend 90 million euros.
Oh, my days.
Which I'm saying, no. I'm not saying go anywhere near that. But I actually don't think Inter Milan have the money for 90 million on Rakitic. I think that's complete fanciful. I think that's paper talk that they'd be willing to spend that much. But I'm saying his CIS valuation is still 52 million euros.
Okay.
I'm saying if you could spend 50 million on him for 3 years, I still think it's worth it. I think he is that good. And he'd be an instant improvement on the other midfield options. I think he's better than Kante in Kante's role.
Okay.
He could play in the left on that side as well. He can also control it from Jorginho's position if, you know, stay with the current system as well. Rakitic is the all-round midfielder. I do think it's a weird move. It's probably the weakest that I've suggested so far, but I think it's worth looking into, Zach.
I think if you're looking at Rakitic, though, do you think he's got the legs to come into a midfield Premier League three against every top team in the Premier League now is an absolute press machine.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen in La Liga. He's in a Barcelona team that's averaging upwards of 70% possession. Mm. He's easy to sit in the middle of the park and distribute for fun.
They dominate the ball, they still get pressed a hell of a lot, and you look at his performance in particular for Croatia, I'm thinking, over the last few years, particularly at that World Cup. Everyone knew how to stop Croatia, stop the supply to Croatia, to Modric and Rakitic. Mm. They still can make a difference. I went all the way to the final. Rakitic was superb in that tournament,
but the best midfielder of the lot was Brozovic, who has been outrageous this season. Arguably the best central midfielder in Europe.
But he's more of a holding player, and I'm not going for a Kante replacement.
We need more than attacking. Let's hear your
suggestion, director of football.
To Barcelona's opponents, rivals, some would say, Clásico, Real Madrid, for Isco. He's 27 in the summer.
Really
so
like
still
this
not too actually. Bad. 27. His contract, though, runs out in 2022.
Okay, but they're going to want to sell him, I feel
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Mm. He's only started five La Liga games this season, and he is currently injured, but it's only a short-term injury with, I think it's like a neck and back one, but it's
yeah,
short.
But I feel like that is such an excuse. Like that to me, stinks of an injury that has been leaked to the press
100%.
Because he can't get any game time behind Vinicius.
Well, it wasn't leaked to the press. It was on Real Madrid's official website. So I agree with that.
Worrying.
Now, the big reason here why I think Chelsea can get him, because otherwise I think Real Madrid keep him no matter what, is him and Solari, the Real Madrid manager, have fallen out. They've clashed a lot. And allegedly, Solari doesn't like him as a player or as a person.
Yeah, I've heard that as
well. It does seem a bit personal, his treatment of him.
Well, apparently after the first training session Solari took, Solari told Isco to count how many touches he was taking on the ball. And Isco refused. And from then, it's been bad blood.
Okay, wow. Okay, I think I actually think as poor a job we've done here, I think that's probably the best suggestion, Isco.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only that as well. Isco recently came out on Twitter to suggest that he's not he doesn't get the same opportunities as other players in his team, and I think he means Bale in that instinct. Bale hasn't been great this season, but Bale started 15 games. Isco started 5, so he feels like he's being treated unfairly.
And he's got the versatility to play on the flanks as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think this smashes Rakitic out of the water.
Yeah, and as good as Aurier is, I think he's a risk because he's so young.
Exactly.
This seems ready-made.
The only issue is the money. Apparently, Chelsea offered 75 million in January, but
really,
he didn't want to leave. then. He wanted to wait until the summer and try and fight for his place at Real Madrid. I feel if it carries on like this, we might be able to offer 75 again and they'll accept it, or maybe even a little less.
Yes, but then as soon as you go to Real Madrid and go, we want your player, they go, okay, we want Eden
Hazard. Yeah, that's
I'm also worried that there'll be bigger dogs in the water in the summer. I'm pretty sure Man City, if Isco is available, would look at him heavily.
Well, this is where we talk about wages. He's currently on £120,000 a week.
Same as Danny D.
Yeah, Danny D. How?
That is a joke. That?
Danny D, David Luiz, Gary Cahill. Like, oh, God. I reckon we have to give him 200. And we give Kepa 180. So he's going to be one.
How old is Isco now? 26?
He's 26, but he turns 27 by the time we can buy him in the summer.
Okay.
He turns 27 in April, I think.
Yeah, Jalab, I actually agree. I think that Isco is probably the best option in that midfield role.
Perfect. So it's all even between us going into the striker.
Here we go, boys.
Okay, who's starting off for the striker?
I'm happy to start.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, sure. I've gone for Andrea Belotti.
Okay.
Horrible.
The rooster.
A man Joe doesn't like because he's not kept his form.
That's an understatement.
In 16-17, he scored 26 goals. And got 8 assists. Fantastic. People were touting him for moves to Manchester United. I think Barcelona, Real Madrid were looking at him. It was meant to be this £100 million man. It was fantastic. He's now 25. In 17-18, the season after that, he scored 10, got 5 assists. Not great. And currently this season, he's got 7 goals and 2 assists. The reason, or what happened, is injuries. He picked up 2 knee injuries in the 17-18 season.
You got your Goulam here. This is the Goulam forwards.
And we know what happened with Goulam. He didn't get in the squad.
Very true. But he's back in the squad. Oh, into Chelsea. Napoli's. But yeah, he kept him out for 10 games, his injuries. And when he returned, he didn't seem quite as good in the season. He wasn't as maybe match fit or, you know, his instincts on the ball or in the air. But in 16-17, he was overperforming on XG. I brought XG, guys.
That's an understatement.
I've brought XG here.
He was running as hot as you've ever seen. It was like Gordon Ramsay's mouth on the hot one.
He scored 26 and he should have scored 20, which is still good, which is still fantastic. 20 goals in a season, you take that every day of the week for a striker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's actually underperforming. XG suggests he should be on 10, and he's currently on 7, which I think is fine for a striker.
But I've seen €80 million bids rejected for Belotti by Torino.
Not sure. I don't know whether that would... They wouldn't reject that this summer, I don't think.
Yeah. If I carry on, in that great season, he was taking 3.8 shots per 90. Mm-hmm. The season after, he dropped down to 2.5. He's now brought it back up to 3.4.
That's pretty solid.
On top of that, he's phenomenal in the air. This season, he's winning 4.2 aerial duels. Yeah. Chelsea crossed the ball 20 times in a match. And of those 20 balls, about 4.1 accurate.
Yeah, I mean, crossing is the least effective way of scoring.
It is least effective. However, we do it so much. We do it so much at the moment. Even if we're trying to play this great football, it always goes down the right wing. We end up whipping it in to Morata or Higuain. Morata, remember, he scored a bunch of goals in his first season just for his head. Him
but that was Azpilicueta dinking balls over the top.
Yeah, very true.
I know we're not talking about managers, though, but I can't think of a less Sarri player than Belotti.
Really?
Yeah, I can't
either. For a player who can just finish inside the box?
No, doesn't work for me.
He's quite immobile.
Doesn't work for me, Belotti. I think Belotti was a flash in the pan season job. And don't think he's working.
I think by the end of this season,
he's playing at Torino. It's quite difficult.
Exactly.
To judge,
Torino. Really. This is the thing as well. If he comes into a Chelsea squad where he's going to be getting more chances. Yeah. He's going to have better players around him. His CAS value is £40 million.
Okay.
I reckon he's not a £100 million man anymore. 60 to 80.
Okay. Well, let me present to you then the real Belotti.
Right.
The man who is actually a future superstar.
Oh, God.
Luka Jovic.
Okay.
This is the man that Chelsea should be going for.
Go on.
Mauro Icardi was very close on my list. I crossed him out, then I put Jovic, then I crossed Jovic, then I put Icardi, crossed Icardi out, and I'm back at Jovic. Icardi today as well, just before we were recording this podcast, got stripped of the captaincy.
Big news.
If he does become available, we should probably go for it.
100%.
But let's talk about Luka Jovic, because we've mentioned Icardi to death on nearly every other show, haven't we? Because this guy is the next superstar striker out of the Bundesliga. Reports this week that he's already agreed a contract with Barcelona. God. Looks like he's going there in the summer. So we're going to have to act fast. 21 years old now he is. Serbian. Obviously currently playing at Frankfurt under Adi Hütter, but made his Red Star Belgrade debut at 16, the youngest ever goal scorer for Red Star Belgrade, who back in the day were a super club. He also the youngest ever player to play in an Eternal Derby. That's Red Star versus Partizan. But in 2015, I thought this was a weird little anecdote, a gangster held his family to ransom, threatening to break both of Luca's legs, and meaning he'll never play football again unless they paid him a certain fee.
And did they?
Really?
Yeah. So they quickly made an arrest, and he left Serbia under a bit of a cloud to Benfica, where he played for Benfica B a couple of times. Didn't really get a look in at Benfica, so they went, okay, we're going to loan him out to Frankfurt. And this was a Frankfurt team that were plucking some of Europe's brightest young talents. They went under Niko Kovac first season. He won the Pokal, obviously. Made 9 starts, 8 goals in his first season. Bedding in. This season, he is playing like a man possessed for Frankfurt. 14 goals in 17 starts, 3 assists as well in Bundesliga football. 5 goals in 6 starts in the Europa League. He's 0.7 expected goals per 90, taking over 5 shots per 90, just under 4 in the box. 3.8 shots per 90 from inside the box. That is Harry Kane in his prime numbers. Seriously, those are Harry Kane's prime numbers. Now, I looked at 2 radars today. I looked at Piontek and I looked at Jovic to see who really is the hype man here. Sure. Because Piontek has got a lot of hype over the last month, particularly since joining Milan.
He's proven it. He's scoring.
Yeah, to a level. But Piontek, 0.39 expected goals per 90. Jovic, this season, 0.62 just in the Bundesliga. That rises to, like I said, 0.7. across all competitions.
I mean, that's
absolutely monstrous output. And I watched a lot of football from Luka Jovic today. The closest I can describe, he is like Luis Suarez. Just the best definition is a wriggler, because he's in a tight space and you never expect him to keep the ball, and he wriggles through. And I don't know how he does it. And Luis Suarez used to be the exact same. The ball just seems to bobble off him into his path.
Almost looks quite clumsy.
Yeah, it looks clumsy, but it happens every time, every game, constantly.
It's a different kind of striker to who Chelsea have had in recent years.
But I think that's the reason you need to go for it. Because
I'm
nearly
not against
every striker you've had has been there for a season and performed or failed immediately.
Sure.
And I think Luka Jovic is going to be a blockbuster player over the next 2 years. Real Madrid have also offered him a contract. Barcelona have apparently agreed a contract with his agent. Frankfurt are saying, oh, well, like, we're trying not to sell him. They're very mysterious about whether they've even managed to get the permanent deal done, because he was on a 2-year loan from Benfica. Mm. So he might still be on loan from Benfica. They have apparently... they've claimed they've paid the option to buy at €9 million, but I found little to no reports of that actually being announced and him being holding shirts of Frankfurt official. So he might well still be a Benfica player. What I will say is that Frankfurt, they're currently 6 wins out of 6 in the Europa League, absolutely crushing it. They're battling for a Champions League spot in the Bundesliga. They're still in the DFB Pokal. There's no reason they won't get in the Champions League this season and potentially win the Europa League. And he has said, Luka Jovic, if they get in the Champions League or win the Europa League, he will guaranteed stay at Frankfurt for another season.
It's a nice thing to say,
but when Barcelona come in offering you €200k a week and you're going to be Luis Suarez's replacement, you leave.
Or how much Zach Jalab comes in with his Chelsea briefcase. Yeah.
Who can put the arm around the shoulder.
Barcelona have reportedly offered €80 million.
Oh my God, that is a lot of money.
We're talking an absolute future superstar here, potentially.
But are we guaranteed?
He's top goal scorer in the Bundesliga right now at Frankfurt. He is running a little bit hot, though. I will say that. His expected goals seeing more 11. So he's about 3 ahead of where he should be. But in the Europa League, he should have actually had 8.
I feel he's a bigger risk at that price than Hakimi is.
Okay. You feel like he's a bigger risk than Hakimi?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're wrong. But I think you cannot leave him to go to Barcelona without attempting it.
I really like the idea of changing the Chelsea striker dynamic. Instead of having a person who's just
a target man.
Yeah, a target man. For having someone a bit more like Luis Suarez would be very interesting.
A bit more mobile.
And my other concern was, can we really compete with Barcelona?
Yeah, that is the issue. Especially if we don't make Champions League football this year as well.
If you don't make Champions League, then there's no way you're ever getting Luka Jovic out of Frankfurt.
He's probably the most talked about man in European football. I struggle to see Chelsea getting them.
He's on transfer talk every week.
But I have brought another one to the table.
Come on, Deegan.
Because obviously Morata's gone to Atleti. I actually hope it works out for him and he moves there permanently. I think that'd be a good move for Chelsea.
So who are you offering?
I am recommending someone who has scored 56 goals in 111 games for his club and country.
Not bad.
He scored 9 in 23 for his country, sorry, despite only being 22. Timo Werner.
Oh, he's
Timo
back.
Timo Werner. He is back. The guy is just obscene. He's the, you know, youngest player to score 2 goals in a Bundesliga game. He did that at 17. He's the youngest player to 100 Bundesliga games. The youngest player to 150 Bundesliga games. Since signing from Stuttgart to RB Leipzig in June 2016, as a 20-year-old for a club record €10 million, he has completely shone. Obviously, the standout campaign was that 16-17 campaign where Leipzig finished second. He ended up with 21 league goals, the highest German in the scoring German in the division. He obviously helped them to a second place finish. That was their highest ever, you know, finish in their existence, and that was their first year in the Bundesliga. Next year in the league, Leipzig struggled slightly in comparison. He still scored 13 in 32. Not bad, considering he was only 21 or 22. That year, they underperformed massively in the Champions League. They had a group of Besiktas, Porto and Monaco and were expected to go through. They finished third after winning just 2 games, and Besiktas and Porto went through in their stead. Their main issue was their defence, though, rather than their attack. They conceded 11 goals in 6 games. Despite this, playing in a struggling side that slightly got found out at Champions League level, Werner still scored 3 in 6. They then drop into the Europa League. They eventually reach the quarterfinals before losing to eventual finalist Marseille. Werner scored 4 and assisted 2 in 5 Europa League games.
Not bad.
So he has a pretty strong record in Europe. He's not just a flat-track bully in the Bundesliga. In 18-19, he's backed up that campaign with 11 goals and 2 assists in 20 Bundesliga games. So not quite Luka Jovic levels, but more experience, less of a risk, I would argue.
Probably less of a risk, but more likely to get a bite.
Yeah,
this is what I'd come on with. But he's only missed 5 games this season through 2 small-scale injuries and 1 through flu. And when you compare all his minutes to his goals, he's contributing a goal every 127 minutes, which for comparison is about 10 minutes more than Lacazette this year. So he's on sort of Lacazette-like levels, playing for a side that aren't, you know, by far and away, they're on a battle for Champions League football, similarly to Frankfurt. He's also playing for a Leipzig side that don't dominate a lot of the ball. They only have 48.8% of it, which is 8th in the Bundesliga. But obviously built mainly on a counter-attack. They're very solid defensively, though. They've only conceded 18 goals in the league, which is 6th in Europe. Crucially, Werner is getting better and better. He's averaging 3.9 shots per 90, which is better than Luka Jovic. I should put in there, Joe. The most he's ever averaged in a league campaign before this year was 3.4, so it's not a flash in the pan either. And crucially, 3 of these shots are within the area, which isn't quite Luka Jovic levels. He's also fairly creative, 1.3 key passes per 90. His combined XG and expected assists, is 0.8. So, again, not quite Luka Jovic levels, but only Lewandowski, Alfred Finnebergassen, Paco Alcacer, Kramaric and Luka Jovic are averaging more out of Bundesliga strikers. He's valued at €76.5 million, which is quite a lot, but considerably less than Mario Icardi and considerably less of a risk than Luka Jovic, I would argue.
I would agree.
The issues... Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I don't think when Bayern wants a player in Germany, they go to Bayern. Yes. And Liverpool.
And he has also said, I think he will go to Liverpool as well.
Liverpool are heavily interested.
I said that on a Continental Club a few weeks ago. I think Liverpool is a really good option.
Well, the other club is Borussia Dortmund. However, the issue there is Paco's if they sign Paco, then one of them wants to start all the time.
Yeah, the issue with Timo Werner, he's the most exciting of my propositions, but I do think Chelsea are now not really in the top pecking order of clubs. Even in England, they're the 4th or 5th most attractive option. Spurs.
If we don't get Champions League football, every one of these signings, pointless.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard. I agree. Has he ever scored 5 in a game because Luka Jovic has?
No, he hasn't. But he's also, he's scored 9 in 23 for Germany. He's not just a potential one season wonder.
He's hard. I mean,
Luka Jovic has never, what did he do before this year?
He got 89 last season.
Not that bad.
Not bad. Okay. Fair enough. But Benfica and Sparta, I remember looking at his stats a few weeks ago. I wasn't that impressed with them at Benfica before he went to Frankfurt.
Yeah, I think he only played 2 times, one time.
The decision.
It should be Mario Icardi, by the way.
He won't go to Chelsea either.
I mean, again, just Champions League football. It's even that. But no, the decision.
Mario Icardi's going to end up at Madrid. As a Benzema replacement. He's the most like Benzema you're ever going to find.
I mean, yeah, literally this summer, especially if anything else happens after this captaincy being stripped. But I'm going for Luka Jovic, mainly because I like the idea of the risk.
I'll take it.
And I also feel Chelsea, it'll be good to see Chelsea play with a striker that isn't the same guy. I think that's a key thing.
So we get a battle.
Timo Werner is more that kind of player.
Can I also just say a final point about Werner, that you can also play on the left wing. I know it won't change your decision, but you could still play Higuain. You could play Werner on the left when you want to play Hazard in a different area. There are so many options with Timo Werner. I'm disappointed with you, Zach.
I'll be honest, mate. I don't think we're getting either. They're going to go to 5 million Barcelona.
Yeah, over him.
Belotti, I'll see you soon.
Okay.
We move on, though, guys, to the wild card. Now, I actually don't have a wild card because I spent most of my budget and I did research for the Chelsea bit at the beginning.
Okay.
What are yours? Doogie Critchley first, though.
Yeah, I'll go first. Mine's actually not that exciting as a wild card. Sure. I was trying to be relatively low cost and trying to bear in mind Chelsea's standing within world transfers now. I've actually suggested Julian Draxler. People forget that he's only 25. He's shone ever since playing for Schalke, making his debut as a 17-year-old. Had that outstanding 12-13 season. And that was, realistically, his best campaign. But he's never had consistent minutes since. He scored 10 and assisted 3 in 30 Bundesliga games as an 18-year-old. He then joined Wolfsburg for £38 million for a season. Scored 5 and assisted 5 in, I think it was 15-16. Goal contribution every 152 minutes. Then it all sort of went wrong. That summer at Wolfsburg, PSG and Arsenal wanted him. He then stayed at Wolfsburg and got booed really badly. Got horrific treatment from the Wolfsburg fans who felt they'd been slightly betrayed. And he endured what he has since called the worst 4 months of his life. He then eventually got his move to PSG. And he should have gone to Arsenal, in my opinion. I don't know why he went to PSG. He should have seen what they were building
money,
there.
Money, 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 money.
I know, but... He was possibly the most talked about young talent in Germany until Timo Werner came along. In terms of Julian Draxler was the next big thing. And he's sort of rotted at PSG. Yeah. He's scored 12 and assisted 13 in 82 games. Doesn't seem too bad, but he's only made 52 starts in 3 years. Which, as a player sort of finding his feet on the world stage, you know, as I talked about just now, you know, really highly rated, not really enough for him. Averages still 0.3 goal contributions per game. This year, though, which is why I thought he'd be such a useful proposition for Chelsea, he's played across the midfield, except in a holding role, and he's played on either flank. This season, he's taking 1.6 shots, completing 1.8 dribbles, making 2 key passes, whilst also making 3.2 tackles and interceptions. So a real all-action forward who can also play in midfield. He's clearly quality. I mean, he's always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. He, you know, won Bundesliga Young Player of the Year. He was the top goal scorer in a Coupe de France a couple of years ago. He was the best player when Germany won the Confederations Cup, but he's never had consistent minutes at a top club. And I think he'd be absolutely perfect for a range of roles at Chelsea and more experience than Pulisic. He'd just be another option to have in there. If you were getting rid of Willian, imagine having a roster of Hazard, Draxler, Hudson-Odoi, Pedro, and
Pulisic.
I mean, that is not a bad roster of
it's
wingers
to have.
It's
not bad. My only worry is, I'd want him to be more consistent. Would he be happy to sit on the bench, for one?
Mm.
And if he isn't performing, it's just another story where it's not worked out again. And there's got to be, if it's not worked out at, you know, PSG.
I understand your fears. And I think he would still be fairly expensive. Yeah. They're going to want to make a profit on him. I think he'd be around 45 million.
Okay. So I was considering a forward option. I don't think Chelsea need another forward option.
Sure.
But you've got enough wingers with Pedro, Hudson-Odoi, Pulisic and Hazard. Mm-hmm. I think with two strikers in the side, we're keeping Higuain, aren't we, on loan? I think there is a more problematic area, and that is right back.
Okay.
I don't think we can bring back Olaina. I think you're pissing in the wind if you think that's possible. That Torino aren't going to trigger that buy-on clause, and he isn't going to leave because he's getting he's playing nearly every game.
100%. He's been fantastic as well. So like he's making like 3.4 and interceptions per 90.
The issue is as well, he's playing as a wing back.
Yeah.
And we're not playing in a wing back system, at least in my head anyway. And you think 3. What is it? He's playing
it's like 3.4, wasn't it, or something like that. I've had it written down.
Cute numbers compared to the guy I'm about to suggest. Let me introduce to you Youssef Atal.
Okay.
Now, this lad plays for Nice, he's a right back, and he's having one of the best breakout fullback seasons I've ever seen. He's 22, so he's a little bit of a late developer. And we're talking Wan-Bissaka levels of breakout. Now, Wan-Bissaka, for people who don't know, we love Wan-Bissaka. He is statistically a monster. This guy challenges him. 22 years old, like I already said, 5.8 tackles interceptions per 90, 6.1 deep progressions, and get this for a stat, 4.8 dribbles per 90 from right back.
Wow.
Absolutely outrageous numbers. A lot of minutes. That's more than Hazard. Yeah, he's had 15 full 90s. Okay. It's not too bad. So
might be the stats of someone who's played like a couple of 90 games. Yeah.
So he's not started every game, but he started 15 full 90s. He's had 18 appearances in Liga this season, which is not terrible. Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
But equally hasn't started every game.
Sure.
He is an attacking monster, a freak. Some of the dribbles I was watching today is like watching Eden Hazard. Some of the numbers are Eden Hazard. I mean, Eden Hazard literally does average around 4.5 dribbles per 90.
Yeah.
So this guy is challenging him offensively.
Right back.
And he's a right back. He does play as an attacking right back. So you are not going to get a massive amount of defensive output out of
could
this
he
guy.
Could he be moved to right wing?
You could, but what's the point? You've got Pulisic and Hudson. True, you don't need to do that. I think you need to coach him defensively because he is suspect a little bit going backwards. Although he is still averaging 2 turnovers per 90, which is doesn't sound a lot, but I actually looked and some of the best right backs in world football, we're talking Joshua Kimmich, is averaging like 1.6. So he is flying above the likes of Joshua Kimmich this season. He is having one of the best breakout seasons of a fullback I've ever seen. He's only 22. He is still quite inexperienced defensively. Positionally, I'd say he's weak. He needs to be coached positionally because he is often found as a right winger. But that is in part his own fault, in part down to the system that Nice are operating. I think they're sat in about 7th in Ligue 1 at the time of recording. But he is almost entirely the right side in attack. He operates as a right winger and a right back, does the job of two men, and statistically, he is a freak. So I think it's worth taking a risk given that he's got an €18 million buyout clause.
I mean, that's very cheap. And also, Cesar Azpilicueta now is 29.
Yes.
Mm. So he should be looking for someone to replace that.
I would just say, to temper that, I don't want to put, you know, thoughts in your mind or whatever the phrase is, I'd probably wait on that for a year.
Yeah, I would as well. Yeah. But you wait on that for a year and PSG have already bought it.
I mean,
and Nice have not been that consistent this year either.
But that makes the statistics even more
impressive. Yeah, no, to be fair.
Worry, though, is Chelsea have never really, like most often, attacked down the right. And so his defensive contribution needs to be improved.
But maybe that's a problem that Chelsea have had, the over-reliance on Eden Hazard on the left-hand side.
Mm.
Manchester United have that problem where we can only attack down the left because we don't have a right-winger and a right-back that can attack.
You're swapping the rock-solid Azpilicueta, though.
Yeah. I'm not swapping him, though. I think Youssef Atal is my right-back option, a bit like... Sorry to keep going back to United, but it's the best reference points I've got. A bit like we've got Diogo Dalot. When we're coming up against a Burnley or a deep-sitting Cardiff, I'm getting Youssef Atal to go straight
bomb
at
up and down
the left-back, and I've got Pulisic on the outside of him.
Well, it's a different take, because that means playing a youngster, and Chelsea aren't really known for that, are we?
It's a huge risk, though. It's
with
a huge
me in
risk.
Charge... We will be.
It's a huge risk. Who are you bringing? Are you not bringing a
I'm
wild
not bringing
card?
I haven't got a wild card.
Who do you prefer? Draxler or Atal?
Totally different options.
They are two totally different options. And I like both of them. I like the fact that Draxler...
You can go for neither as well.
Can play... He's more of the attacking option. And with Youssef, he is a right-back which we will need in the future. And a right-back who looks very good and for very cheap right now. I think with the budget we've spent on players... I'm going to go with Youssef.
Yes, 3-1.
3-1, gutting.
Due to the cheaper option.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think that's great find, that, Jace. Never heard of him. That's amazing.
It is a big
risk. Keep your eye on Youssef Atal at Nice. I reckon he's going to be a big move this summer. Big move.
Sounds it.
That was awesome, right? So we've got a big squad turnover there.
So there we are. God. We have fixed Chelsea in the space of like an hour and a half, something like that. Zach has now been appointed officially as the Chelsea director
of
football.
The good times are back, people.
Just got to hope he doesn't get murdered by Roman Abramovich over the next 6 months.
Let's pray, boys. Let's pray.
Should we move on to Rosettes? Moving on to Rosehead now, we're going to keep this really brief. This might well be the last week of Rosehead because I think we've pretty much exhausted all the opinions on hot takes as well. We start with potential candidate for Football Daily Fan of the Year. If you're listening, you can clip that out, Menez 18, because you are just smashing it at the moment.
Welcome, mate.
To yourself. He says he wants to kick out unrealistic market valuations for players.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's sites like Transfermarkt that completely skew them entirely. But is he more talking about clubs overestimating the value, or is he talking about online?
I think online.
Yeah. Okay, so online, absolutely ridiculous. Transfermarkt, I don't know who the brains behind that website is. It is useful for some things like injury history and moves that have happened during windows. But the one to use that I increasingly use, and I think lads around the office do, is the CIES, which calculates your contract length. I think it even takes in like how happy they are at the club, their wages, and calculates their value from there. So Transfermarkt can be frustrating.
I was going to say, even CIS can be wrong. They said Alonso is 61 mil.
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere is a stab in the dark because the club could just demand more. The next one was sent in by Kurt Larson. Zach, this is one for you. Oh, FIFA God. Career mode. It's trash and needs attention from EA.
Oh, I guess it needs attention. I don't think it's trash, though. I think everyone's enjoyed a good manager mode. You play for a couple of seasons. And then I actually prefer the player career. Put myself in the game. I've started play careers where I just play centre back.
Really?
I lead the CPUs to score. Weirdo, I just pass it around the back.
Why do you want to be centre back?
Yeah, just natural position.
Absolutely bizarre.
The main question is when you're getting me on squad goals. I haven't been invited yet.
We'll wait for the next episode.
I might let the side down slightly.
Yeah, I mean, although I believe the worst voted pair were Bab and Jalab.
No, that was just for
70% says otherwise.
Yes,
Jalab.
But that's not for getting taken out. The next episode is getting taken out.
If you need an ultra defensive right back, you know where to come.
Ultra defensive right back. Jesus.
Well, not the worst. And then the final rosette of the day was sent in by Sir Flaherty on Twitter, and he says, kick out the fact that the entire footballing community have united against Liverpool winning the league.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, no. I couldn't disagree more. I'm absolutely delighted that the entire footballing community have turned on Liverpool.
It's so good. Like, don't get me wrong, Liverpool playing fantastic football, but it's the people online that drive me through the wall.
It's fans. Ugh.
And it's the non-insufferable ones that are so sensitive now as well. Oh my God. On my mates' WhatsApp groups, you know, you can't criticise Liverpool and then they're just like, oh, it's the anti-Liverpool agenda. Shut up. Grow a pair.
When they lost to City and it was the grass was too long. The shadow crossed the line.
There was an interview I saw on the Red Men TV, which is a really good YouTube channel. Yeah. And the guy goes, Sadio Mane is the best player in the world. And in that moment, I thought to myself, this is why everyone wants City to win the league.
They can't take any criticism of their chosen son's salary. Either. Even if you say, like, he dived in that game, they'll be like, what?
Even Klopp's getting into it.
I know.
Klopp's doing it in press conferences now, like moaning and stuff like that.
The pressure is ranking up, and the fans' reaction shows that it's really getting to them.
Yeah, yes. It is. Right, let's move on then. Out of Rose Ed, that might well be us waving goodbye to that segment. If you've got any segment suggestions, why not just tweet them to me, Doogie, Zach, or Hamel? Let's go on then to facts with Rafa Benitez.
Excited about this.
It's a fact. Facts.
Yes, today I'm taking on Facts of Rafa Benitez. And are you ready, boys?
Okay, is there a theme or anything like that before you
start?
There
is a theme. Okay. They're all football related because why not do that?
Great start. It is a football podcast.
And I only had 5 minutes to think of them.
Okay, come on then, Zachary.
To clarify, we're looking for one truth.
One truth.
You've got the system right.
Yeah,
Hamel struggles.
Hamel gets it wrong all the time.
Okay, the first one. I was in Brighton's academy for a month.
Very short but sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. He loves a night out in Brighton. Could be true.
Footballing academy, so.
Yeah.
I once sprained my wrist from a missed fired shot in a game.
Okay.
The alteration there is worrying because I feel like he just screwed himself over with that one because everyone has surely sprained a wrist in goal. I've sprained a wrist in goal.
No. Not in goal, not like that. I was watching a game. I can tell you right now, I was watching a Crawley Town game, Crawley v Plymouth, and a shot during the training session hit my wrist to like protect my face, and it sprained it.
Really? Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Can happen, okay.
What's
I remember at Stoke a few years ago, someone broke their arm. Anyway, fat three.
Trois. I was once sent off in an 11-a-side game for shouting abuse at the ref.
Oh, that could well be true. Let's go back to number one, though, number one, which was the Brighton Academy. Yeah. What age group were you?
So I was under 10s.
So everybody's been in an academy under 10.
No, so I will tell you this. I will tell you this properly. So at that time, Brighton were either Championship or League One. Can't quite remember. And I lived in a town called Uckfield. Maybe people might know it, people might not. Okay. So I went to school there, and part of their scheme was to send Brighton coaches out to schools to coach like your football team or whatever.
Yeah.
And they came to my school and coached me and saw me and went, hey, would you like to come for a trial at Brighton? And that's what I did. My parents took me down there to Brighton. It was like three training sessions a week. They took me down there to train. It would be from about 6 till 7, and then they would take me back home.
And they give you the snip after a month.
Oh, this was it. After a month, it came
I was
to a
thinking
month.
Something very different, no, then, right?
Jesus,
drops him, right?
It came to a month, and my parents sat me down and were like, "Look, we can't keep doing this because it's about an hour and a half,
dreams
two
crushed.
Hours, like drive."
Oh.
And on top of that, I was also playing for my like local boys team.
I bet you're pissed off with your parents.
I mean, I was. Yeah, but at the same time, I kind of like, I can't drive. I'm only like 10, 11. So.
Well, I think that might well be true. I mean, Zach has said that he was a pretty talented youngster.
He was, yeah. And that is a classic thing. The same thing happened to me at Exeter City. Coaches come into your school and then they take you for a trial. I was a month, then I cried, got cut.
Yeah, it could well be that it was maybe slightly longer time. Anyway.
I'll admit, I never signed on to them because it was a month like kind of trial thing. Yeah, but yeah. I also,
I know exactly
at the
what
end
you
of that
mean.
Month, they, okay. like, they never also said you
number
cut,
two so. Was sprained wrist in the crowd at yes. Crawley.
Yes. Home or away?
Home. Broadfield Stadium.
At Broadfield.
Boys.
Broadfield you were sat
stadium.
Behind sat
I was
behind
sat
the
behind the goal in the standing end. There's two seated
Who
ones.
Who broke your wrist?
Oh, God knows.
Right. Random know. Opposition yeah, random. Player. Right.
It didn't break my wrist. Sprained it.
Sprained it.
Sprained it. Because I didn't... It hurt, but it wasn't that bad. Then I got home and it started like swelling up. And my mum was like, okay, let's take you to A&E. And I was in and out of A&E when I was younger. Many an injury.
Yeah.
However, got there and they were like, yeah, you sprained it. Put on that like... cast thing where they've got the
metal bar
there.
Yeah, I've done that
painful.
Many times.
That was essentially it.
Okay.
Right, okay, but
I think that might have happened to a brother or something. I don't know. I think that hasn't come up.
Yeah, I think I'd be surprised that he hasn't brought that up in the past as well. The final one, fact number three, this is very you. I've played a lot of seven aside with Zach, and he loves to abuse a ref.
It's not abuse. It's just do the rules right. That's it. If you're not allowed to go inside the box,
so what happened?
Give a penalty.
Talk us through the scenario.
So this is what I was playing in goal. I was 16, and now
angry
we
goalie,
found
guy.
No, we found that under 15, it didn't matter what you did, you would never really see a yellow card. The second you got to 16 years old, the referee started dishing them out left, right, and centre. And so I didn't swear at the ref, but I essentially insinuated him kind of like cheating, and the referee was like, "Okay, keeper, you're off," and sent me off. Manager was like, "What are you doing?" Had to pay a fine of £15, and that was essentially
ooh,
it.
Oh, I don't okay. believe that's the actual... Pounds. I don't believe that's the fine.
At 16 years old, it is the fine.
That's quite a lot. Oh.
As you get older, the fine also increases.
Do you remember what decision had got you so irate?
No idea.
See, when I was playing football at 16, the fine was heavier than £15 for a child.
I mean, talk to Sussex County, because that's the FA of Sussex County.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot. You've covered it well.
Very,
wherever the line
very
is.
Well masked.
Wherever the
I feel
is,
like
yeah.
he let himself down by saying the wrist was broken for fact two in the intro. Mm. He would have known if it was broken or sprained, and that was a key slip.
Quite difficult to slip that in, isn't it? Yeah.
I feel like fact number one... very easy to change some details. Mm. He could have been there for 3 weeks, not a month. He could have been there at a different club. His parents might not have said that. Because I don't believe that Zach's parents, and I've never met them, but they seem like lovely people.
They are lovely
would
people.
Have given up on him after a month with the chance of being a professional.
Not really given up, though. They
it wasn't given up.
It.
Is that, yeah, it's just, it's driving. A lot of petrol. They don't pay for your petrol or expenses. Okay.
It's true. But I also feel like if
my
that
dad
was the
worked
case,
nice.
You probably would have seen yourself go from Brighton Scouts and then potentially going into a Crawley Academy.
I was living in Uckfield at the time.
I kind of think that you would have and the amount that we talk about Brighton
us,
and right. clubs, that Brighton, if you were potentially next big thing at Brighton, that would have come up.
I think number three is true.
I agree with you. I think that it's so easy to change your brother got hit by the shot at Crawley.
Sure.
Or your cousin.
Or you didn't break your wrist,
or
you just got hit.
Or you got hit. I reckon you abused a referee and took a £15 fine.
I completely agree. We're in cahoots. We're going for fact number three, Jalab, as the truism.
You're wrong.
Oh!
It is fact number one.
Oh, my God.
It legit is. So my dad worked nights, and so obviously it was late, and so he'd get back home, and then he'd also work. So he worked at Gatwick Airport, which is like another hour from
Well, you guys love Gatwick Airport.
Yeah, it took us a while to move to Crawley. and yeah, no, essentially it was just like, my parents were like, Zach, we can't afford to keep taking you up and down there, and like, no, there was no one in that squad that was from Uckfield, so no one, I couldn't just jump in with a mate or something like that.
And so just, what you're saying is you could have been Lewis Dunk right now.
I could have been Lewis Dunk right now.
Where are you playing with these
edge of an England keeper.
No, no, I was a defender. I was a defender until I was 14.
Move over Shane Duffy, he's getting on a bit.
Maybe. So the other two had any truth or?
My brother was the one with the wrist.
Oh, great, very well. Great detective work, dude.
Thank you.
And I never got sent off for abusing the ref. I only got a yellow card.
Oh, right. I should have thought about that. Okay, but, so there we have it. Facts with Rafa Benitez. Zach Jalab comes out on top on his debut on the Sunday Vibes Extra Time podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. We will be back next week. If you've got any topics you want suggesting, slam them on Twitter. Send them to me, Jalab, Doogie, Football Daily, Chris Hamill, whoever
anyone,
you want,
really.
It will eventually find its way back to us. Thank you very much for joining us, Jalab.
Cheers, mate. I loved
fun?
It. Really good fun.
Great director.
Thank you, mate.
Great director of football. Doogie will be back next week, probably with me and Chris Hamill. Thanks very much for listening. Everybody at home, goodbye.
See ya. Bye.